So, I'm Craig Endicott. Some of you have run into me before over the last couple of weeks, or maybe in February when I was here right after Kate left to become the pastor of Lord of the Mountains Lutheran Church in Dillon, Nirvana, otherwise known as Colorado. Beautiful place. Kate and I have been friends for quite a while, so I hated to see her move halfway across the country, and at the same time felt excited and happy for her and Philip as they began a new adventure together. So, do you get that mixed emotion thing? I really don't. I hate feeling conflicted, but that's the way it is. So here we are in the conflicted spot of the already, you've already had us, Lord in your mercy, aside, whenever I hear a siren, I remember the people driving it, the people who may be in it, the medical workers, the folks who work on them, in any event. We're in that conflicted already, but not yet. You've already had a history, a string of very good pastors. And you have not yet gotten to the point of finding and calling your next permanent pastor. So, but I want you to know some things about faith that I've discovered over the last couple of weeks. You have really good people on staff here. So whoever your next pastor is will have encouragement, support, information, everything she or he needs. Over the years, I've been in a position to have interviews for people who were going to work in the church, a fair number of candidates for jobs, and I've always followed this formula in interviews. I'm always looking at education. Do they have the scholastic or training background for the job? Do they have the experience? Do they have any work history that correlates? How about competence? Have they demonstrated an ability to do the job for which they are being considered? That's not the same as experience, believe me. Aptitude. Are they able to learn and adapt to new challenges? And finally, fit. And fit often outweighs the two or three of the others, but are they going to get along well in the culture of the organization? Are they likable, really? Those are the things your call committee is going to be looking at as they interview candidates for your next pastor. And it's also a good idea for you to be thinking of that when you meet the candidate for the first time, sometime a few months from now. I consider those things when I'm beginning to work with folks in every congregation I've served, and even now as I'm just joining you. So I got here 3 weeks ago or so, and I started working with Daryl and Jody and Mindy and Mia, and they are great folks. I was wondering the same about members of the congregation as I'm getting to know them, particularly the leadership. What are their competencies and aptitudes, and how do they fit in the congregation? Because I think we all know that in every organization or in every family, extended family certainly, there are angels, and there, shall we say, those who are less than helpful. So it is especially good to know early on who the angels and the less than helpful ones are. Where are the launching pads for new projects? And where are the landmines? So, I asked Daryl and Jody and Mia and Mindy this question. almost every organization I've ever run into has someone, and you know what I mean, has someone in the organization who's abrasive and demanding and surly. And I want to know who that is. And Mindy said, you may be surprised, but we haven't had anybody like that. But I think we do now. I'm going to ask her about that at staff meeting. So I get it. It's me. Been there, done that. And if you've ever felt like you're the one who isn't in the right place, you don't eat at the cool kids' table, you're not in with the in crowd, if you feel like you are the landmine, I get it. Been there, done that. And my guess is at one point or another, we've all felt sort of at the margins, like we didn't quite belong. Maybe only because we were new, and maybe because we screwed up. Today's two parables in the context of Jesus is being challenged by the in crowd. He's being judged and excluded and declared not cool. What you're doing is not cool. These parables say there is no place for behavior like yours, Jesus. And Jesus says there's no place where God isn't willing to welcome you in, to make you part of the kingdom of God. That it's impossible for you to wander so far or bury yourself so deep or go so wrong that God will not be willing to come and sit with you. You're still in the kingdom. And here's another cool thing. God invites us in these stories to join the search party. It's interesting that the two people who lost a sheep, lost a coin, threw a party. We're invited to join the party, the one that celebrates and the one that searches. We get to do both, to welcome the least and the lost, and especially the ones you don't want to hang around with. I thought about putting a sign out front for rush hour that says, Jesus says, love the one who just cut you off. That's what it's about. Because it seems to me that ironically, the people in this parable, in this story with the parables, the people who are most lost are the ones who are grumbling about what's wrong with Jesus and his friends. There's a promise here that no matter what, you fit right in the kingdom of God. Turns out God doesn't have a lost and found department, because God doesn't let anyone get out of God's sight. Thanks be to God.